I have been doing Insight Timer and for years now, and I have quite a few followers. I think 3,500. And
wow.
I have two courses I started, but you're doing extremely well with hundreds and, well, I think about 1,000 in one course and 300 in the other. And my new one's called The Stress Buster.
I love that.
And I'm writing it, I'm recording it, and it should be up within a month. But basically, it covers all the elements that we've been going through, including, you know, meditation and how to overcome fear, how to overcome depression. Things like you do, like being grateful.
Right.
We were just talking yesterday about how you have found that being grateful in your meditation or being grateful has been very, very helpful for you.
It's been very, very powerful. Although I have to say that, you know, this morning, I mean, every day is different, right? I mean, gratitude has been amazing. It still is amazing. And then sometimes in life, even when we're in the present moment, sometimes the present moment contains things that are we deem unpleasant.
Yeah.
You know, grief being one of those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, grief is one of those things where the more acceptance we're in, I think the less painful it is, but it doesn't eliminate the grief. And so I love the idea of incorporating that notion and still finding gratitude even when you're in a period of grief, because that can be difficult even for someone who practices every day.
Well, all of these things are, I mean, that's one, I've been doing meditation since I've been 13 years old. I've been doing it every day. And it is interesting. It's just because you've been doing it for a lifetime doesn't mean that things necessarily get easier. It just means you have the tools that are easier to get to.
Yes.
You know, available. As far as grief, my gosh, you know, that's such a huge thing because so many people have lost loved ones. And
right.
I don't even like the term lost, but that's a term used. But, you know, here, I have to say, being on Maui for all these 32 years has made it easier in a way because I've been so far away from many people who are dear friends or family, and it's like I haven't been really with them in person for a long time.
Right.
And that same energy is like, okay, they're just in a different place now. They're not on the mainland, or they're not where they were in Europe, or they're not where they were there. Oh, they're there. They're another place. So, you
right,
know,
it softens the blow a little bit.
But you still can miss them, of course.
Of course.
Know? And I always suggest for that, I suggest writing a letter, communicating, still talking, because I do think that if you do it in that way, you don't feel the disconnect.
Right.
That you can still communicate or, you know, find a way to actually, if you want to record a message or write a message or, in spirit, talk to the person who's not there. That I really do believe, and that whole CD I did last year was based on that.
Yeah,
conversation
that was
with
amazing.
My sister was her really talking back to me. You know, the one I did call In the Hands of God. So I do find that valuable, but it takes remembering and it takes a bit of believing, having that door open to have the belief possibility. Yeah, maybe this is possible. You know.
Yeah, so much comes down to our belief system, which. You know, I mean, and beliefs can change. They can enhance our lives. They can limit our lives. And so sometimes when I'm struggling with things like that, I realize that I have a choice of a belief system. And if one particular belief system adds to my grief or adds to making life more difficult, it's good to question that. And I mean, we always have a choice, even of our belief systems and how they make us feel.
And our perspectives. And for you, just finding out being grateful in your meditation made you feel better. It has been proven, and it's so acceptable because it isn't a belief system. Being grateful isn't a religion.
No.
And it's not even considered spiritual because I'm asked, are you religious? I'm not really religious. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm, you know, a spiritual person in a body, so I'm experiencing everything going on here. But as far as many people not wanting to go woo-woo, you can be grateful, and it isn't woo-woo. It works.
It really does work. It really does work.
Yeah, it really does work. And I'm really grateful for that it does, because they've shown that it is like a light switch in a dark room. When I'm sure you've experienced that, when you can take the time to be grateful for things, you are looking at the positive aspect, not the negative aspect. And you're also able to, in a way, count your blessings.
Right.
You know, and be aware that things aren't so bad. It helps alleviate depression. It helps, you know, really change your mood pretty quickly.
Well, it does, because it releases different chemicals in the brain, which connect with different neurotransmitters. So there's actually a lot of science behind gratitude as well.
There's science behind just the fact smiling.
Yes.
That when there is science behind just smiling, actually
releases endorphins.
Changes the way your whole body can feel, not just the smile on your face, but the smile actually is a positive thing for the way you feel emotionally and physically.
Yes.
So, I mean, those are two powerful things. You know, I like to say, are you smiling in your heart? Is your heart smiling? Not just your mind, you know, not
right.
just, but is your heart smiling? I mean, if you take a second and put that into your heart and see, is your heart smiling? You know, you said you came in like many people are harried. There's things going on. There's stuff happening in all of our lives more than ever in these last few years. We've got this other layer.
Yes.
But can we still feel that smile in our heart?
Yes, and I think for a lot of people, and the more mental a person is, the more they think, sometimes you have to wade through the cobwebs and tune into your heart.
You do.
And stop the mind, yeah. You know, that monkey chatter mind.
Well,
and
the mind likes taking directions. It's a computer.
Loves to.
It's a computer. You can
right.
direct it and program your mind.
Right.
And your mind will go monkey mind very easily unless you program and say, you know, that's why people use mantras, and that's why people do things like counting their breath, counting one,
yes.
two. You tell your mind to count your breath, and then it has something to focus on.
It has something to focus
and
on.
And that's the other thing that anyone can do that isn't woo-woo. You know, I had a wonderful Zen teacher. He's still alive. You know, I just haven't seen him in years, 32 years. His name is Bill Kwong Roshi at the Snow Mountain Zen Center, and he said, breath sweeps mind. So if your mind is doing this, you know, your breath, just breathe. That's not woo-woo either. It's proven that if you're even having a panic attack, if you breathe in
yes.
to the count of four, hold for the count of four, breathe out for the count of four, hold out for the count of four, that is a proven buster, stress buster. It actually helps deprogram the stress you're under and
right.
for your mind.
And that's physiological as well, because it signals the body when we start to breathe, hey, we're okay, it's all right to relax now. And so again, the brain releases those chemicals that say, okay, we're not in danger anymore, we're not in that fight or flight thing, which when we start panicking, we get in that fight or flight and the breath reduces. I found in meditation, when I listen to a simple guided meditation, and I usually don't listen to guided meditations, mm-hmm. I find them distracting for the most part for me. And if my mind is chattering too much in meditation, then I'll have my brain label my breaths. Mm. Breathe in, breathe out. I give my brain a job to just label if it's an in-breath or an out-breath. Mm-hmm. You know, I may have to come back to that many times, but that's something really simple.
And it works.
Yeah.
The simple things really can work. Because the last thing we want to do when we're under stress is make it feel like it's overwhelming to do what we're trying to do to overcome stress. You don't want anything more to make you feel more stressful
no.
to try to overcome
and you
stress.
Can't meditate the wrong way. I mean, just...
There's so many thousands right. of ways to meditate, you know. I mean, really, I've been doing it all my life, and I don't do it the way a lot of people do it. I just do it by going inside and connecting with my inner self, my soul, and just do what feels right, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not, I don't use transcendental meditation. Many people do. You know, you can do any kind. My gosh, there's so many kinds of mindfulness now. It's become
right.
to the point where there's even some schools that are teaching it. There's some prisons using it with prisoners, and they found amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole documentary about that. Yeah, that have found that in prison, when these people are taught mindfulness, how it totally can change. But it goes back to what you said. The thing is, it's not as easy as it sounds in some ways when you get into it, really, because if you're in the moment and you're experiencing in the moment even stuff, then you have to, and I found through the Zen meditation I do, is that there is if you do it deeply, there's that moment where you have to face yourself and acceptance.
And you have
to face your fears. You have to face, and there does come that moment where, okay, can you face yourself? You know, and a lot of people will distract. We were joking about a movie. You heard about it. I'd never heard of this Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it's called, but you were saying earlier before we went on air, wouldn't it be great if...
You said a remote control.
Remote control. Wouldn't it be great if there was a remote control for life? And I said, well, there was a movie like that with Adam Sandler. It came out a long time ago. And he wound up fast-forwarding through most of his life, all of the things he didn't want to deal with, including sex with his wife and, like, meetings with people he didn't want to meet with. He just kept fast-forwarding. And at the end of the movie, he was an old man, and he had realized that he had fast-forwarded and was not present for most of his life. And, of course, he was really sad and trying to return the remote control. And
I have never seen that. It reminds me of another favorite movie I have. Actually, I have a talk on this on Inside Timer. The Bill Murray movie. Was it Bill Murray? Groundhog Day, which is one of my favorite movies. Groundhog Day, where, you know, and in a way, I think we went through Groundhog Day when everyone had to get stuck at home for like a year.
Right.
Except for me and the people who work every day. Anyway, I work through it all. But it's like, okay, we're going to do this over till you get it right. We're going to do this over every day. And there's so much that he had to learn, right, going over and over and over until he could get the skills down to get it right to what he wanted to be and get and do, which was being in love with that other woman. And he went on an amazing journey.
Right. And again, that in that there was... There was the patience, there was the perseverance, even if it didn't always look patient, and getting, you know, coming back full circle to the meditation, it's like, I found it doesn't have to be perfect every day. And Cindy, by the way, you're the one who gave me one of the most powerful meditation experiences that I had had in a long time a few years ago when we were at Eau Valley, and I've gone through meditation in spurts, but I'm in my longest run with it. And again, it doesn't mean that every day is going to be this supernatural experience in meditation, although I have many of those days. It's really about the consistency and creating the routine and the habit where you know you're just going to sit down. And no matter, on the days I'm in a hurry and I have a lot to do, I sometimes resist sitting down. And I'm antsy while I'm doing it, but I do it anyway.
So you're developing your awareness.
Yeah.
And that's actually what a lot of mindfulness is about, is developing awareness of your body, your breath, how you're feeling, your tension. There's body awareness, et cetera. I the one thing I like to do a little differently than mindfulness is have soul awareness as well, having an awareness of that who you are element, which is like another level of like, okay, goes to what is my purpose in life and what am I supposed to be doing here? You know, what's my real purpose? And I don't know if mindfulness covers that or not, but it doesn't matter. It's just like you said, there's many ways we can do many things, you know. And for
right.
me, I like to try to do as much as I do. And as much as I do this, you know, Aurelia, I've been doing this show for 32 years, very rarely talk about myself. This is very unusual where I talk about that side of myself. I really think that what's important is to get out there what other people are doing and hear their story and try
for
to serve
sure.
in that way. Because the more you talk about yourself, the more you can get distracted also and get into the me thing. And truthfully, it can take away from what you really are trying to do, you know, because you get distracted with what you're talking about sometimes.
Well, maybe, but I think in this case, it's not that way because it's maybe people who are listening who are intimidated about meditation or, you know, I had some unexpected guests last night and I bought a bunch of crystals while I was in on the mainland. I spent a lot of money on crystals. And so I have all of these and I've had people coming over and purchasing them and I'm just selling them at my price.
What kind of crystals?
Oh my gosh. I've got so many. I've got every kind of quartz there is and pyrite and moonstone and aventurine and orange calcite, green calcite, yellow calcite, labradorite, Peach Moonstone. I mean, the list goes
I've
on.
I've never heard of a Peach Moonstone. That one takes the gorgeous. Cake. I bet it is. Moonstones
it's
are amazing.
Absolutely beautiful. And you know what? I use the crystals in my meditation as well.
Yeah, I do too.
But what I was going to say was that I don't think that you talking about this is distracting. I think it can be really helpful for people to hear some of the things about meditation, because I think a lot of the reason people don't do it is because they think, well, it's overstated, or I'm not going to do it right. And when you talked about the soul's purpose or intent when you're meditating, I find that that just comes.
I agree.
I don't have to focus on it. It's just like that's one of the special gifts of meditation is you're in meditation and all of a sudden things will come and I find myself in these various mudras and things
well,
that are
when
just
you,
coming
when
to
you it's take like, away all those distractions of what you're talking about and all the things that are outside, things will come, but some people are afraid of that and subconsciously shut down.
Right.
And you have to be able to face that, like we're talking about facing things, right? Because sometimes, you know, it's just like, I don't really want to deal with that. You know, it's like, we all have a shadow self, you know?
Right.
And I'll tell you, meditation doesn't take that away.
It does not.
It just
brings it closer to you so you can look
at
it.
I've been on 3-day Zen retreats where you can see how people are ready to explode because the stuff starts coming up, bubbling out after a while, you know?
Right.
And if you ever go to a long retreat center, do some of these things, you will see that people can get through some pretty weird stuff as things come out. It can happen. And I don't believe in gurus. That's just not me. I love the Alan Cohen statement. He said guru means G-U-R-U.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, G-U-R-U. Because, you know, like, okay, I could go to someone else and say, gosh, this came up. And in a way, it's good to have some feedback, but it's also good to just go back inside and say, oh, okay, this came up. What happened here? And let yourself say, oh, yeah, I know. I know it came up there. Yeah. And then when you figure that out, you've really figured it out for yourself.
You've really figured it out. And then it becomes you realize after a certain period of time that you've changed and that you're actually transforming and reprogramming some of those parts of yourself. And
it's a lifetime process.
It really is.
It really
it's
is.
Fascinating.
We have about 5 minutes left.
Oh, my goodness.
Alan comes in. Brief look at what we're looking at astrologically
so,
for the year.
So astrologically, right now, we started the year with a Capricorn new moon and a Venus retrograde. And so what does that mean? I mean, kind of the theme, one of the big themes for this year is Capricorn, you know, plan your work your plan, establish some goals and be consistent with them. That's kind of a theme for the year, building upon last year where it was about changing the way that we manage our security and make our money. And for those of us who worked really hard, this is really like a mountain goat climbing up the mountain. We're a significant way up the mountain. So this can be a really powerful, successful year of manifestation or the continuing of manifestation. With Venus in retrograde right now, and we really won't be out of that shadow period until the beginning of March. You know, again, I don't like to rule my life by any of these things, but there's some classic things that happen, like people getting back together with lovers from the past and it winds up being a disaster, or you meet someone and it winds up being a disaster afterwards because, you know, Venus rules love and money and values. So sometimes people squander or waste their money or do a lot of over shopping, buying glittery, glitzy things.
Okay.
And all of a sudden the money's gone, or they take on a big new lease or buy something like a car or a house and then realize they're in over their head once Venus goes direct. So just some pitfalls to watch out for, you know, our thinking just isn't really clear on those matters during a retrograde. We're just, I don't know, a week or so away. My brain's a little cloudy on the dates, but we do have a Mercury retrograde coming up.
I was wondering about
that. Yeah. And so we're in that pre-shadow period, and I'm already experiencing technology wonkiness. So, you know, now is a good time. If you've got a wobbly tire, if you've got something that needs to be fixed or a piece of technological equipment on the fritz, deal with it now because
don't we always have some
this is the time, like wrap that stuff up.
Yeah. Good. It's always good advice anyway, right?
We have a Venus-Mars conjunction coming in February, which should be really fabulous. You know, getting that masculine and that feminine together.
Wow.
And but it is happening while Venus is still in that retrograde shadow.
Oh,
so
gosh.
That'll be interesting.
Especially with Valentine's Day in February.
Much later in the year, we have a Mars retrograde in Gemini. Mm. And that's a period that lasts for about 5 months. And Mars is about our motivation, our desire, our willpower. And when it goes retrograde, we may lose track of what it is. You know, we may lose our connection to desires that we held and that we, you know, were motivated about. With Mars and Gemini, you know, Mars is also represents anger and aggression. And so when it's retrograde, there can be a lot of repressed anger that comes out. In the sign of talkative Gemini, there could be some fiery communications later in the year. But there's a lot of Mars stuff going on all year. So to me, in a nutshell, because I know we don't have a lot of time, is that we're really getting an opportunity to rewire or again, meet our shadow in the way that we assert our will. I mean, it's going to meet up with Pluto and square Uranus, so that could be some sudden surprises of volcanic, you know, situations and anger coming out, which may kind of flip the lid off for us of what kind of shadow issues related to the way we assert our energies are we going to deal with during the retrograde. So it's how do you move through the world? Are you aggressive versus assertive? Are you weak-willed and needing to sort of boost yourself in that way? Are your desires getting in the way of you accomplishing your greater Capricornian goals that this year has kind of started out with? So how does your willpower or the lack thereof, you know, support or sabotage? And I think we're going to get a big chance to look at that this year.
I almost said, until I was aware of what I was almost going to say, is I don't like this Mars thing, you know? And I went, oh, gosh, okay, what did I just almost said? And what do I need to do if I don't like Mars? I got to look at what Mars is to me and then figure out how to deal with it because I much prefer Venus over Mars.
Oh, well, you know, Venus is like, you know, let's just liken it to waking up in the morning and Venus will say, oh, the bed is so nice and comfortable and warm and I just want to stay here for longer and, you know, just luxuriate under these sheets. And, you know, of course, if you're with someone, luxuriate in the touch and just the companionship and the relationship. But Mars is like, you know, come on, it's time to get out of bed. We've got things to do. Let's make the coffee. Let's get up. You know, so we need Mars.
Yeah. Okay. I will look at Mars in a new way. And I'll also realize that maybe my shadow self needs to accept this Mars thing, you know, and be open to what the good that can happen once you learn how to work with Mars, you know.
Right.
Especially with some of these things in retrograde. There's lessons to be learned through everything. If we looked at all the lessons we learned over the last 2 years, I mean, believe me, we have had some heavy-duty lessons we've learned.
We have.
Absolutely.
And we have more to learn. We have actually four Mercury retrogrades this year, Venus in retrograde, Mars in retrograde. I mean, there's a lot of rewiring that's going to happen this year.
It's good to have a good electrician handy, huh?
Definitely.
Okay, I God is my electrician. I'm sorry. When you wire me in, right? Wire me in,
yes.
Tune me up. No, I mean, because there is going to be a lot. And you know what? That's what makes life exciting. The hardest part, I think, for people who try to find out the answer of what's going to come, there's two thoughts that come to that. Looking at the future can cause anxiety. You got to be
can.
Aware of that.
Fear.
You know?
False illusions appearing real, and the brain is all too happy to gather information to support those fears.
And if you do something like you try to figure out too much, you know, it's like you're tempting fate sometimes. It's like, well, is this right or is that right? Or am I going to do this? That? And so it's like sometimes that can really trigger the monkey mind.
It can. So I've got a quick thing that a friend of mine says, bless it or block it.
Ooh.
You know, and so I've been kind of getting into that lately. And you don't have to believe in God. You don't, you know, it's just like get that mindset, you know, bless it or block it, yeah, and just be okay to be loosely attached. It doesn't mean you don't plan, you don't have desires, you don't try to make them happen. But again, we all know about attachment and how much pain that causes.
Well, we've all had to go through so much change that right. We've had to learn to let go and detach. I want to make sure we get your websites, and you have a new one that's just starting up, I think.
I do, and it's finally, all of the edits are done with it. And so some of you know me as an astrologer, and you can find me at auralea-starastrology.com. That's O-R-A-L-E-A, star with two R's, astrology.com. But what many of you don't know is that I am also have a master's degree in speech-language pathology and have been serving in that field for almost 28 years, working with people of all ages and all disorders, and I take all types of insurance now. And you can find out more information if you know someone who needs some speech therapy at speechtherapymaui.com.
You do an amazing job with it. You've helped a lot of people. And when we were talking just yesterday, you brought up some interesting points. Some of the people who had actually gone through COVID used your help.
See, and we were just talking about Mercury retrograde, and we're in that pre-shadow.
Yeah, no, that was interesting. No, I mean, it is. And Mercury, it's weird because I was told I have Mercury in retrograde in my chart.
Oh, well, then for you, it should not be as difficult as it is for a lot of other people.
Well, I just want to thank our guest here, Aurelia. It's always wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy. Always a pleasure. Yes, thanks for having me in today. Always nice to powwow with you.
You too.